Mark chapter number 5 this morning. Uh-oh. Mark chapter 5. If you brought your Bibles to church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. I think you ought to bring your Bible to church. That's important. You need that thing wherever you go. Mark chapter 5. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to sing this morning to lift up our voices to you. Lord, I ask you to bless that junior church this morning. Thank you for all those kids. God, I pray, God, that we do them due diligence, Lord, and teach them about you, Lord, and that many, many more will come to know you. I thank you for the young man being baptized this morning. What a blessing that is to know that he's not being baptized to be saved. He's being baptized because he's already saved. And I thank you for that truth that we can prove in your word. God, I just thank you for your word this morning as we open it up. Lord, I know the devil ain't about this, but I'm not about the devil either. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, you just bind the devil off this place, off the hearts and minds of your people. And Lord, if someone here don't know you, I pray, God, today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, now cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self this morning. Fill me with your spirit. Allow me to preach, Lord, with clarity and wisdom and boldness. Lord, exactly what you want preached. Lord, let your people hear from you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. A little bit of reading this morning. Mark chapter 5, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
We'll start in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 20. The Bible says, and they came over over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with a what, church? Unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This man had some serious power from a wrong power, amen, from a wrong spirit, the devil. And always he was demon-possessed. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But I like this. But when he saw who? Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now notice, he didn't know the Lord at this moment, but he knew who he was. Amen? Now that's very important to understand that God did promise that he would lighten every man, correct? He will make himself known. You remember in the fiery furnace, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, I cast three in, but it looks like there's four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. You know, I'm paraphrasing there, I'm not quoting scripture, but how did Nebuchadnezzar know who that was? Because Jesus lightened him. God lightened him, just like he lightens men and women today. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man. He was speaking directly to the spirit there. Thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, what'd they do? Went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. There goes the pigs, amen. And they that fed the swine, what did they do? They fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. That's a miracle that now what they used to see, now that this man has met Jesus, they're no longer seeing the old scary man that cuts himself and tears himself out of chains and lives in the tombs. And now what they're seeing is a man in his right mind. You know that's what Jesus does. Amen? He's in the putting your mind in the right place business. Amen. And he's also in the business of letting other people see the difference in you. Amen. That's very important. Don't miss that. They saw him in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. What a commandment. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did what? Marvel. I want to take some lessons out of this story this morning that I think we can apply to our lives. Some from the Savior, some from the man, some from the, you know, even something that we learned, that the devil has to be in submission to God. And I hope we understand that this morning. And if you're struggling and maybe you're not possessed, because I don't believe personally, I think it's unbiblical to think that a Christian can be demon possessed, because Satan cannot own what God owns. Amen. We're bought with a price. Okay, but you can be demonically oppressed. Don't ever forget the difference. Possession means he owns you. Oppressed just means he's messing with your mind, emotion, your will, your soul. So he can oppress you. But I want to show you some things this morning. In verse number 1 through 5, we see this. We see a very demonically possessed man. Let's read it again. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had not been often bound, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So what do we see here? We see, like, listen, I challenge you, if you'll go take a walk down the streets of pretty much any town at nighttime, what you'll find is men and women with unclean spirits. And you'll wonder, and we often ask the question, what in the world are they what? Thinking or doing. What are they doing? Well, let me answer this real quickly for you. If they're lost, they're not doing anything. You paying attention? See, this man, the Bible teaches no man ever hated his own soul, right? Nobody in their right mind is going to on purpose hurt themselves unless they're controlled by an unclean spirit. You paying attention? See, this is how the devil works. He'll come in. He'll convince you. Now, what kind of man in their right mind, or woman, boy, or girl would take a stone and cut themselves? Or take a knife and cut themselves? Why would we not do that in our right mind? Because it what? It hurts, right? No one would on purpose inflict pain on themselves just because they like pain. No. That's something else that's controlling that. We got to understand that we have an enemy. Does everybody okay with that? We do have an enemy. The devil's real. Hell is hot. Demons are real. I'm not trying to scare nobody this morning. I'm trying to show you something. The devil is at work. And each and every one of you have officers that the devil has appointed over your family, over your kids, over your husbands, over your wives. And here's what they do. They study you. They find your weakness. They find your strong points. They find out in your family where you struggle, in your marriage where you struggle, in your kids, what do they struggle with? How many have kids in here? Multiple kids. You know, you ever find out that most of the time, the first time you tell a kid to stop doing something, you usually have to go back and find it again and again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And again and again and again, and then sometimes again and again and again. And it gets frustrating, doesn't it? Well, see, here's how it works. Just like a football coach would sit and study film, what are we looking for? We're looking for weaknesses in our opponent. And we're also looking for their strong points in our opponent. So we know, hey, don't run at that guy. He's going to kick our butt all night long. We need to double him up. Why? Because that's a strong point. But if you watch film long enough, you'll find weaknesses. You'll find cues that they'll give away their weaknesses. They'll give things up. And the devil is always looking for a weakness in your life. Always. And let me tell you this. He's very good at what he does. See, here in this man's life, this man is unsaved at the moment. When in verse 1 through 5, he does not know Jesus yet. The devil has entered into him. He called himself Legion. And he said, but we are many. So the devil has literally possessed this man to the point of he is living in the mountains all by himself because he can't be around society safely. So, what are some other things we see about this? Can I say this man was very sick mentally? You ever met someone that has a mental illness? Now, I don't want to step on no toes this morning, but I believe a lot of our mental illness is a spiritual illness. You can disagree with me, that's okay. And I understand some of it is mental. But I also know this, God fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us. No exceptions there. And I believe that just like this man, we could look at him and say, you know, we would probably see a man like this on the street if we saw a man like maybe living under a bridge and maybe he was dirty and filthy and doing drugs and cutting himself up and had needle marks. We would naturally tell our kids, don't go around those people, right? Why do we do that? Because we want to protect them. But, you know, Jesus, he didn't avoid him. Why didn't Jesus do that? Because the same Jesus that died for you died for him. See, Jesus knew that wasn't really the man wanting to do this to himself. He understood that he was possessed by a devil, and he also understood that he was greater than that devil. See, if we as Christians would take a hold of the fact that we don't have to be scared of this kind of stuff. It bothers me when people say things like this. Well, I don't want my kids to hear about that stuff because they're going to get scared. You know what you just did? The devil's watching your film, and he said, scared. I know how I can scare your kids. See what I'm saying? You better let your kids become aware of who God is. And you also need to understand and accept the fact that whether you like it or not, the devil's real. And he's going to attack. Now, would you rather prepare your kids spiritually? I mean, why do we teach our kids to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am? Because it's respectful. Why do we teach them to read and to write and to do math? I never understood that one. But, wasting my time. Till later. But why do we teach our kids to do things when they're little? Why do we teach them to, when they go potty, to take care of themselves? And so, you know, because when they're adults, we shouldn't have to do those things for them, right? So why, if you'll prepare your kids physically, why on earth would you not want your children prepared spiritually for what is going to come no matter what you say or think? The devil's going to attack. It's up to you. And by the way, if God gave you those children, He also granted you grace to raise them exactly how He needed them to be raised. He made no mistakes in picking your parents. He made no mistakes in giving you your children. He knew that you, Dad, and you, Mom, were wired to take care of that one right there. As hard as it may be sometimes, we all have those. We do. You're like, man, I heard somebody say a while ago, if I could take the best thing out of each one of my children and make one kid, I think it was Miss Ruth that told me this. She said, I'd have one perfect child. I said, but here's the deal. We all have faults, don't we? And we all have failures. Folks, we got to get on board with the fact that the devil is after our children. I'll say it again. The devil is after our children. But we have a God who's greater. This man was sick mentally. This man dwelled in the tombs, so possessed he could not be around people. This man was so possessed he could not even be bound. He had tried to be bound with chains and fetters, and he was so strong, demonically possessed, that he just broke them. No big deal. Why? Because he was under the control of another power. And you say, Brother Drew, you're insane. No, no. I'm not insane. I'm preaching the Bible to you this morning and trying to help you understand that you have an adversary who still works like this today. I have counseled multiple teenage young men that struggle with cutting themselves. You say, why would they do that? Because the devil's job is to steal, kill, and to what? So if the devil can convince that young man or that young lady that no one really cares about you. Now, how many know that's a lie? But he starts there in the mind. No one really cares about you. What's the point of even living? You say, why is the suicide rate up so high? That's a good question. Because the devil's at work full time. See, the devil ain't no fool. He knows Jesus is coming back. He knows. He knows that he's got limited time left on his work schedule. And as many young men and young ladies as he can take down and destroy before his work schedule's up, that's what he's going to do. So I challenge you this morning as parents, let's help our kids get educated in this stuff. I was so thankful the day that I learned about spiritual warfare because it helped me understand that I did not have to die bitter. See what I'm saying? I didn't have to live every day hating people that I should be loving. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't have to be mad every day. I didn't have to get triggered every time somebody said something or did something. It helped me understand that my adversary is the devil, and he was the one behind all the hurt and the heartache and the pain and the suffering. It was him. But God said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know that Jesus cares about you this morning? He really does. So this man was bound. He was so possessed that he could not be bound. But verse number 6, I love this part of the story. But when he saw Jesus, you could preach a whole message on that right there. But when he saw Jesus, notice what he did. He ran to the Savior. And he worshiped him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Turn with me there in your Bibles. Romans in chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. I wonder if you remember the day that you saw Jesus for the first time and it clicked. There's someone who can help me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He fell down, he worshiped him. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Folks, if Christians, if we didn't have another piece of Scripture after salvation, if Christians would take these first few words in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 and live by this, we would be better off. And be not conformed to this world. You notice that's seven words? Seven is a number of completion, ain't it? You know what will make you complete as a Christian? Not conforming to the world. But you know what we do? We live like this. And be not conformed to Christ. Hello? I got quiet. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But what does the rest of it say? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I wonder when the last time you ran to the Savior was. If the last time you ran to your Savior and worshiped Him was at salvation, shame on you. Some of us have been saved for years, and some of us it's been years since we've ran to Jesus. Here's the reality, He never left you. That's another lie of the devil. If Jesus really loved you, He'd have been there. Hey, He's always there. He's an ever-present help in time of need. Never leave you nor forsake you. I'll not leave you comfortless, He said. Hey, God's always there. God is there when the mountains won't move. You know that? He is. God is always there. Don't believe the lies of the devil. But in presenting my body a living sacrifice, I wonder, you know, our body is made up of a lot of individual parts. Amen? I want to go through just a list here, and let's just talk about our mouth first. Now, as a believer, I am to be conformed, or be not conformed to this what? World. So, if my mouth is bringing honor and glory and fitting in with the world, I am not obeying God. Simple. If I'm talking like the world, walking like the world, acting like the world, if I'm speaking like the world, it doesn't matter. I'm not just talking about cuss words. I'm talking about jokes that you shouldn't tell, conversations that you shouldn't be in, all this stuff. Listen, if I'm doing that, I'm disobeying God. What about my eyes? Hey, the Bible says present our bodies. You know, if my eyes aren't looking on the things that they should be looking on, then I'm conforming to the image of the world. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But many times our eyes rest upon things that fulfill the lust of our what? Flesh. And you ever notice, every time you give in to that temptation, how stinking rotten you feel afterwards? Feels good for a minute. Bible teaches that sin's pleasurable for a season, right? Well, my man, the end thereof are the ways of death. What about my ears? And this is a big one for everybody. The things you let go in your ears, folks, it's going to affect your mind. What do you mean, Brother Drew? I'm talking about your music. I'm against country music. Y'all okay? Y'all all right?
Amen.
I'm against country music.
Hello.
Why? Because they're for fornication. They're for drinking. They're for drugs. They're for cheating on their wife. Killing their dogs. You know what I'm saying? You flip that thing around, you get everything back. Play it in rewind. All that stuff comes back to you. Hey, I'm against country music. And I know we live in the South. And that's everyone's beloved, love music. Hey, if that's what you love, you're conforming to the image of the world.
Amen.
You're serving the devil. Because he's behind that music. You say, Brother Drew. Hey, God ain't going to write no music like that. Fornication don't honor God, last time I read in my Bible.
Amen.
Cheating on your wife and your husband don't honor God.
Amen.
Drunkenness don't honor God. Drug abuse don't honor God. Disrespecting mom and dad don't honor God. Living a life the way you want to live it, being a good old boy, getting drunk on Friday night, going to church Sunday morning, don't honor God.
Amen.
Never has honored God. Y'all all right? Hey, I used to think it honored him too, because I was in my seat on Sunday morning. Sometimes I couldn't even think straight in church on Sunday morning. I was so messed up from the night before. Oh, but I was in church. I was doing the will of God, bless God. No, I was living like hell is what I was doing. Everybody okay? And you think that God's going to bless that? You're sadly mistaken. Because that's not the God that I serve. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, you read about all the promises that God gave them and read about the way that God told them to live their lives. And over again, men said, no, I'm going to do it my way, my way, my way, my way, my way. Well, hey, your way's the wrong way. God's way is so much better. We need to be presenting our bodies, our living sacrifice. And just in case you're comfortable, I didn't preach against rock music and rap music. I'm going to preach against that too, all right? That's wrong too. Straight out of hell. Y'all okay? But that's okay. Listen to it. You're just affecting your walk with the Lord is what you're doing. You're hurting your relationship with Jesus Christ. Brother Drew, how do you know that? Because it took me 16 years after I was saved to give up that music. I was 25 years old before I stopped listening. I like classic rock and country music is what I loved. 25 years old. A youth pastor. Y'all okay? Playing the part. Nobody really knows. It ain't going to affect nothing. Let me tell you something. It affected every time I opened this Bible. I would wonder, God, why is it that you're not speaking to me like you should be speaking to me? And he'd say, son, what is it that you got in your life that's between me and you? And I'd say, that's not that important. Let me tell you something. When I gave that stuff up, that book became alive to me. Alive. It was real. And it can become real to you also. But you got to want it. You got to present your body a living sacrifice. Do you seek to worship Him when it's convenient for you? You know, this man worshiped the Lord. Or do you worship Him because He's made you free from your sin and shame? Hey, we should worship God every single day. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you don't even do that. Y'all all right? I'm sorry, but I'm not here to make you smile. I'm here to preach the gospel to you. I think you ought to be in church if you can be in church. Everybody okay? Okay. Verse 8 and 9. Back in Mark chapter 5. We see Jesus directly speaking to the demon. And we see the demon's response. In verse 15, we see the people saw the one who was possessed sitting in his right mind. When Jesus comes in, can I say this? People around you should be able to see a difference in you. I like it when I get phone calls from men around the community. Or sometimes you're out in the community and some ladies will make comments about ladies in our church and guys in our church. And they'll be like, man, that young man's really making a difference in his community. If you only knew him a few years ago, that lady's doing something different. She's not the same as she used to be. I love hearing that about our church people. I love seeing that church people want to get involved in church things. When you get changed, hey, you're changed from the inside out, whether you like it or not. Forever changed. Amen? Forever changed. You should desire godly things if you are of God. You say, Brother Drew, I just don't desire godly things. Listen, I'm not here to tell you you're lost or saved. That's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you this, Brother Michael. When I got saved, there was some conviction when my sin took place. There was no more sinning and just enjoying it. I have someone living within me that's contrary to all my sin, that hates all my sin, that says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Brother Drew, I've never felt that before. Well, maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost living within you. Can I say this? Religion ain't ever saved nobody. Y'all okay? A church house ain't ever saved nobody, folks. I'm so sad that people have grew up in what we want to call the Bible Belt and still don't understand salvation. Some of them been in church their whole life and they think they're saved because of the things they do. Sadly mistaken, the rich man died and in hell lifted up his eyes. Why? Because he knew not Jesus. You know why you'll die and go to hell this morning? If this is the last opportunity God's given you and God's convicting you this morning that you're not saved, you may never get another opportunity. I'm not trying to talk you into something, but what I am going to tell you this, and this ain't even in the message. I just feel like this is what the Lord wants me to say this. If God's convicting you that you are a sinner, and by the way, you are a sinner, amen? That you are a sinner in need of a Savior who can save your never-dying soul, then you better take heed. Because this may be the last chance you get. This may be the last opportunity that God gives you. But guess what? He's given you the opportunity. How dare we as God's people not respect Jesus in the best and most honorable way possible? Verse 19, we see Jesus commanded him to go home. I love this part of the story. See, he wanted to go with the Savior, but Jesus said, no. What I want you to do, bud, is this. Go home to your friends and tell them how good I've been to you and how much compassion that I had on you. Hey, you know what you and I ought to be doing? Once we get what Jesus has offered us, we ought to just sit back and get comfortable, shouldn't we? That's what we think. That's what the devil thinks. No, no. Hey, Jesus still has this command. Go tell your friends. You want to please me? Hey, he just wanted to be with the Savior. And Jesus said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. Go tell someone else. Go tell someone else. And tell them to tell someone else. Fulfill the Great Commission. If you want to please your Savior. And see, notice that old boy didn't get upset when Jesus said, go tell his friends. You know what he did? He obeyed. Verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Folks, listen, in our service this morning, what would happen if 136 people went and published how good God's been this week to them? Most of us can't even raise our hand and find something we're thankful for when we have an opportunity to give praise. That's sad. But how good would it be if we went out into Red Level and Andalusia and Evergreen and McKenzie and Luango and Carolina and Op and wherever else? If I miss your town, I'm sorry. I'm thankful you're here. Listen, how good would it be if we went out into our communities and just published how good God's been to us? Didn't think about talking about nothing else. Only talk about how good God's been to you. And how much compassion He's had on you. Because folks, let me tell you something. God has had compassion on us, has He not? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. The piano player is going to come. Listen, this altar's open this morning. I want you to all